One of the things I've noticed about the Torah readings is how certain things do line up. You know, in the Jewish year, you can have anywhere from something like 50 weeks, is that right, to 54 weeks. And it follows a lunar calendar with a leap month. So it can be really confusing sometimes, can it not? I was at Passover with my family, visiting with my sister, her family, and actually several sisters. I just got a lot of them. And we were celebrating Passover just a little bit early because none of us could get together. We couldn't clear our schedule to get together for Passover proper. We all had responsibilities. I have one sister who is now the president of her synagogue, another one who just finished her term as president, and I'm a rabbi. And we got different responsibilities. So we all had to be in our own synagogues for Passover, but the week before we had what we call faux Passover, fake Passover, and we got together, and there was a young woman there who said, I don't understand something. Easter this year was before Passover. How could that possibly be? And so I had to explain to her that Easter isn't synchronized with the Jewish calendar. In fact, in some ways, it's been disconnected, as have many Christian holidays. But the good news is the Jewish holidays are synchronized with the Jewish calendar. And so Hanukkah always happens on the 25th of Kislev. It's just the 25th of Kislev doesn't line up with anybody else's calendar. But I've also noticed that there are certain readings that always are synchronized no matter what. And the reading this week, Parsha Miketz, is always aligned with the celebration of Hanukkah, so that we read about Joseph interpreting the dream of Pharaoh always during the Hanukkah season, in the intermediate Shabbat from the beginning to the end of Hanukkah. And this week, when I was reading again this marvelous story of Joseph, and I was thinking about the fact that there is one Jewish holiday that's not mentioned in the Jewish scriptures of the Tanakh, but is mentioned in the New Testament. And I think that that it's important for us to make connection ourselves and to see that just as Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah, he would always have in mind the story of Joseph too, because it was always read during this time period. And it's as if the Jewish people are always reminded at Hanukkah that we need redemption. We need help. There are times of trouble and times of uncertainty. We know the story of Hanukkah. But those who went through it didn't. They made history. We know the story of Joseph, but Joseph didn't know how things were going to turn out. We know he was sold into slavery and ended up becoming the prime minister of Egypt. But when he was sold into slavery, he didn't know that was going to happen. We have the advantage of being able to read the whole story and having a bit of, just a little bit of suspense that's nothing like what they had. In fact, in the Torah portions for the story of Joseph, which goes for 4 weeks, we read about Joseph being in prison and having the ability from God to interpret dreams, and then he uses that gift to benefit some of his cellmates, and when they get out, he says, "Don't forget me," and immediately they forget him. And the portion ends like that in order to give you and me 1 week of suspense. For him, it was, 2 years when he was forgotten? Now, for us, the 1 week of suspense is brought to a conclusion because we can read and see, things work out pretty well for Joseph after that point. But he didn't know that during the 2 years. He had no idea how things were going to go for him. And when you read the scriptures, with the eyes and the experiences of those who are being written about, it can help you understand what your life is like, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to be. You don't know how the troubles you're in right now are going to shake out. You have impossible situations that cannot be solved, or can they? Now, you might know theoretically that they can be solved. You may have problems right now, and your heart tells you, God will help me. But every night when you go to bed, it's hard. You know what I'm talking about. You can't go to sleep because your mind just gets fixated on the thoughts of your troubles. And then you don't want to wake up when you finally do go to bed. You don't want to wake up because you'll begin thinking about those things again. And so your heart tells you God can help you, but everything else in you says something else. And you must understand that Joseph lived with those kinds of difficulties as well. He had to struggle. He had to struggle. And there's one point in the scriptures where it says, Joseph was in prison and the Lord was with them. Now, for most of us, that is impossible. If we're in prison, God has abandoned us, right? That's what we would think. If we're in trouble or difficulty that we can't solve, we would think that something is wrong with God. Or if we are the kind of people who tend to be guilty, we would say something's wrong with us that can't be fixed. I had a friend who said the Jews invented guilt, but Catholics perfected it. But we're giving them a run for their money. And it can be just as bad to feel like you deserve the trouble that you're in. Because when you look at life that way, there is no way out. Because you know your mistakes, you know your sins, you know the things that you have given yourself to or gotten yourself into or tried to get yourself out of but haven't completely. You know, we all know. And when we only focus on that, it can make us think like, you know what, I deserve it all and I deserve to rot in hell. I mean, you probably don't say that, do you? None of us wants to say that. But we can be tempted to think that way, that we deserve the worst because we know what we've done. But what's so fascinating about Joseph is that no matter how hard it got, he kept applying something, wisdom, to his life. He kept applying wisdom, and he used it in every way that he possibly could. He used wisdom in order to understand how he could serve when he was in prison. He used wisdom to understand, even before that, how he could serve when he was a slave. And he volunteered to do a better job. He volunteered to do things with excellence in such fashion that those around him kept entrusting more and more to him when he was a slave or when he was a prisoner. More and more was entrusted to him. He did not use his circumstance as an excuse for failure. He found a way to do better than everybody else around him. And he performed with wisdom and with excellence at a level equal to the highest free people. So that those who were free, who had responsibility for him, kept turning over more of their own authority to him. He was wise. And he was also aware of where this wisdom came from. It's revealed in Genesis chapter 41, two verses, 15 and 16. Joseph has finally been summoned out of prison. Pharaoh's had a dream that none of his wise men can interpret. And one of his servants remembers Joseph and Joseph is brought to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says to him, I have had a dream and there is no one who can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream in order to interpret it. And so Joseph answered Pharaoh. Now think of what most people in business would say. Yes, I do have that ability. I have a lot of experience too. Joseph said otherwise. Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh was recognizing that Joseph had an ability, but Joseph recognized he didn't have a real ability. He had a relationship with God around wisdom. And it wasn't a skill. It wasn't just something that he was talented in that he could do whenever he wanted to. It required that he stay in close fellowship with the Lord. So when Pharaoh says, I hear you can interpret, he says, actually not. God interprets. God can give you, Pharaoh, the answer that you're seeking. And it will bring you peace. So Joseph has wisdom from God. He has the ability to understand a dream, to interpret it. And he knew that came from God. It wasn't in him. It was from God. Now, there are some gifts that do reside in you that are born of experience and born of talent and born of practice, which you can do all the time. Eric has musical gifts and talents. And so, he can play well all the time. Right? But the anointing to bring people into God's presence is not just a matter of playing well. It requires a close relationship with the Lord. Right? Joseph understood this was not his own ability, it was from the Lord. And after Joseph interpreted the dream, Pharaoh recognized the Lord in Joseph. And this gives us an incredible picture of God's ability to use a person. Joseph was the only one in the country who had this kind of covenantal relationship with the God of Israel, the only son of Abraham, who was a covenantal son, who had this kind of relationship with God like his father Jacob had, like his grandfather Isaac had, like his great-grandfather Abraham had. He was the only one in the country. And wherever he was, it was as if the kingdom of God was present there. Wherever he was, there was the rulership of God all around him. Pharaoh recognized the Lord was in Joseph. Skipping down a few verses to verse 38, Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this? Can we find such a one as this?" Joseph's interpreted his dream and explained to him about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of lack. And Joseph has also explained that they need to do something about it and they need to store up the extra. And they need to appoint someone who's full of wisdom and discernment. Joseph has in mind an Egyptian. Pharaoh, you need to find an Egyptian. And Pharaoh turns to all of his wise guys and says, do we have anybody in Egypt this wise? Nah. Can we find such a one as this in Egypt? A man in whom is the Spirit of God. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there's no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Imagine how startling that was. I've set you over the whole land, Joseph. Just earlier in the day, you were in prison. Today, you are second only below Pharaoh. You are ruling the whole land. And why? Because Pharaoh, who worshipped false gods, recognized the one true God in Joseph. Pharaoh recognized the spirit of Elohim in him. A man in whom is the spirit of God. God gave Joseph wisdom and understanding that allowed him to interpret the dream. For a lot of us, that would be enough. Hey, I'm a prophet, I interpret dreams. Joseph didn't say, I'm a prophet, I interpret dreams. He said, God interprets dreams. Furthermore, God gave Joseph wisdom and understanding that allowed him to determine what to do in light of the dream. Imagine all these people on Wall Street. They're having a hard time dreaming these days, I'm sure. Probably nightmares they're having. Hard to sleep for many of them, you can understand. But it's not enough to be able to predict a situation or to even describe it or to interpret a dream. You must know what to do in light of the dream. Amen. I have an interpretation, Pharaoh. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of lack. Pharaoh says, what should I do? I don't know. That's not my job. I interpret dreams. I don't give advice to Pharaoh. I just interpret dreams. I'm an interpreter. Imagine if that's as far as it went. I think one reason it didn't stop there is because Joseph was always fellowshipping with God and taking wisdom from him. You know, there are different kinds of wisdom. Some wisdom is very general. It can be applied in many situations. For instance, here's one. Buy low, sell high. That's always wise, right? Here's another one. Always spend less money than your income. That's good, isn't it? Look both ways before you cross the street. We could go on and on. There's a lot of wisdom that's very general. It can be applied in a lot of different situations, but some wisdom is very specific. Some wisdom applies to unprecedented situations, not general situations. Don't you hope that God releases wisdom for our country at this time and for the world at this time? The smartest people, the greatest people, the ones who can describe what's going wrong cannot figure out what to do in light of it. They can see the situation, but they can't fix the situation. And that's why it's not billions that we're looking at, but trillions that we're looking at. And it's not a short time. It's not, you know, next week that everything's going to turn around. It's longer than that, right? Some wisdom is very specific, and it's not based just on experience. This is a spiritual gift of wisdom. It's even prophetic in this sense. The prophets, when they had wisdom for specific situations. If the situation changed, their prophetic word did not necessarily apply in that changed situation. For just as an example, the Lord said that there would be calamity in Nineveh. But the situation changed because the people repented. And so there wasn't calamity. Now, was God wrong? Was the prophet wrong? No. There was a purpose behind the prophecy. It was to bring people to repentance, to bring them into a condition of rightness with the Lord. Well, Joseph had both kinds of wisdom. And together they worked to get him out of prison, out of slavery, and to rise to the highest position in Egypt below Pharaoh. Now, when I think about Joseph and I think about how God brought him up and how God brought him out of trouble. And then how God used him to help others in trouble, even his brothers who got him into trouble. And I understand that this is a Hanukkah message. It's lined up with God's calendar for Hanukkah every year. It doesn't shift. Always during Hanukkah, we're confronted with this. And I think it helps us understand something about Hanukkah, and that is that God's light can shine on us in the midst of darkness. God's light can be in us, and it can, in us, then shine on other people. They don't know what to do, but God, who has wisdom and is willing to take up residence inside of us by the Holy Spirit, God has wisdom to help those who would humble themselves and seek His will. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Yeshua spoke and said, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I am, he said, the light of the world. The world needs light, does it not? How does Yeshua bring light in dark situations? Basically, two ways. One is by the Holy Spirit. And the other one is through people. He brings people into dark situations. People who have received the Holy Spirit. People who fellowship with the Lord. People who read the Scriptures and take them seriously and trust them. And He brings those people into dark situations. Joseph understood this. That's why his life was so useful and so important. What if he had given up because things had gotten so bad? What if he had thought about the treachery against him, the way his family mistreated him? What if he just assimilated? He says, "This Jewish stuff, I don't even like my Jewish family." What if he just ran away from his own identity, his own family, his own calling, because of what they had done to him? It would have been the end of the Jewish people. In the same way, what if no one had risen up with vigor and with tenacity and boldness during the time of the Maccabees, who were the hammers of God? What if they just said, "It's not worth it. We don't want to risk anything. It's bad enough already. Let's just be quiet." We wouldn't be here. We would have been lost to history. What if Yeshua said, "You know what? This cross business, I hate Romans. I don't want to do this. And my own people haven't been treating me so well. Why would I want to die for them?" What if he had forsaken his calling and his identity because of trouble, because of rejection, because of mistreatment? What if, you know what? Everything would have come to an end. And so Joseph made history. The Maccabees made history. Yeshua made history because they didn't take that position. They took another position. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done through me, Lord." That's the message of Hanukkah. It may boil down to you for somebody else. You may be the only one who brings God's light to someone. Without you, they won't have anything. And you know it's not you, it's God in you. When we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, we're doing a Hanukkah thing, because we're saying this is the temple of God. Once polluted, now clean again. Ready to be a sanctuary for the Lord, ready to be a place where God is welcome, ready to be a worshiper, ready to be a place that welcomes in anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord. That's what we're saying. We're Maccabees, ladies and gentlemen. If I had a hammer. How does that song go? I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening. All over this land. Right? That's a Maccabee song, isn't it? Yeah. When you take the stand, not just for yourself, but for the sake of others. Not just for the sake of others, but for the sake of God. All things are possible. That's how history is really made. That's how you make history. That's how you participate. I love Hanukkah. It's never boring. And the life of Joseph is my favorite part of the Torah. So I'm always glad when we get to this time of the year and we get to read it. It is so rich, so fresh, so powerful. I hope it is for you as you fellowship with God through His Word. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank You that You were faithful to Joseph. You were faithful to the Maccabees. You were faithful to Yeshua. You were faithful to everyone who's been faithful to You. And even when we weren't, when we were opposed to You, You loved us and reached out to us and brought us back into Your family and safely into Your kingdom. We thank You, Lord, for Hanukkah. And we remember, Lord, that our lives can be dedicated to You and that these dedicated lives can be useful and can make a difference in a world that desperately needs help. Use us, Lord, as Your children to help those in great need. Use us, Lord, to bring the light that You have to the darkness all around. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. What a great blessing it is, too. While you're standing up, we've got Israeli Dance Workshop January 4th. Details in the bulletin. Sign-up sheet in the hallway. New beginners Hebrew class. A lot of you have been telling me you want to learn Hebrew. Don't dream about it. Do it. And please remember, we got a new practice. It's a new habit. Take your things with you into the Oneg room. Don't leave your personal items in the sanctuary. The office, incidentally, will be closed on Thursday, January 1st. You weren't going to call anyway, were you? I didn't think so. But we also have a special thing we need to do because we have a special Hanukkah prize. This, before we bless with Aaron's blessing, we have a radio-controlled boat, right? Do you guys want to describe that? It's like big, right? It's big. Am I right? Like this. Something like that. Hurricane proof? Okay. Now, we have to ask a test question. I was thinking of just making this a game of chance with dreidel or something, but I didn't do what I thought I would do, which is I was going to order a dreidel that had Santa on it. And all the faces were unusual because they were Santa-like. And it was in a catalog, sort of a gag catalog, that says, "Sure to confound Jews and Gentiles among you." But I didn't do it. I didn't have enough time to get it. But we could spin. So we've got to do something quickly to give this away. And my game mind isn't working like it normally does because I have been away from my grandchildren for a few days. So it doesn't work right. Okay, I've got it. Here's the first question. the name of the Israeli donut. Okay, don't say it out loud yet. The Israeli donut that you eat at Hanukkah. If you know the name, tell the person next to you who's going to confirm it when I ask. Okay. Okay. Now, everybody who got this right can come to the front. Sufganiyot. Okay, if you got that right, come up here. Okay. Three? Okay, now to settle for one, we'll have a wrestling match between them. No, we won't do that. You don't want the boat? You don't? So you're going to step back? Okay, so it's between you two guys. I mean, you don't have to keep it. You can actually give it to a child, a grandchild. Okay, you're out. Okay, you guys? Okay, what are we going to do for them? Okay, we've got to think of something really quick. Okay, first one to answer this. Where in the New Testament does it speak of Hanukkah? Chapter verse? No, these guys. No. Verse? You get the boat half the time. Chapter 10, verse 22. That's right. Who got that? Okay. Okay, come up here. You're in the contest now. Come on up. We will not look at you. Okay. Okay. So you can close your eyes while you're up here, and that way we won't see you. Okay. Now the. Okay. Now we got to have one last question. I don't even have any money here. Okay. We're going to play Let's Make a Deal. Yes. Okay. I have in my hand something that you put in your eyes. What is it?
Contact
lens. Almost. That's right. John, you're the winner. Contact lens drop. You don't get the drops, you get the prize. See the shoots? They have this prize. John has a lot of grandchildren. I know he can use this well. Thank you. A little Hanukkah game. You're a good sport. All of you. And all of you are still standing. Okay. Congratulations, John. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you with all of His favor. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Chanukah Sameach.